Good evening, and welcome to our Yom Kippur service. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year of the Jewish calendar. You know, a day and time when you reflect on your life, to repent, you turn, you confess your sins to God. It's really a season which begins at Rosh Hashanah, especially in Jewish tradition where it's called the 10 days of awe. You know, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, a time of introspection, a time of confession of your sins, of writing your heart before God. As I was praying and thinking this morning, I reflected that, given the state of the world today, that on Rosh Hashanah last week is actually the day when much of the great panic began. It was the day the House refused the bill, the markets began tumbling downwards. So precisely in this 10 days of awe have been the 10 days of world panic. The 10 days as you're talking about mass introspection, mass comeuppance. So many who have thought what they would have done never would have been seen have been seen. So many of us are suddenly realizing a fearfulness that we never saw, a stability we thought we had, having our very canes of our lives knocked away and destabilized. It's amazing to think that in these 10 days of awe, you know, people are traditionally supposed to be reflecting on their sins. Indeed, the entire world at this time is doing just that. Now, it boggles my mind to make what particular significance of that is, but without knowing if these events are indeed symbolically linked, they are part of the great plan of God in one way or another. That many of the world are in awe, terrified, reflecting on how they live their lives, seeing their mistakes, seeing for perhaps the first time that there really is no security in money or earthly power, that their only hope really is in God, not in this world. So Yom Kippur is a day for confession of our sins, a day of introspection, a day from the point of view of the New Testament to remember the great sacrifice that pointed to our Messiah, who is the Lord who laid down his life for us. And it's a very appropriate day for each of us in the midst of this terrifying situations in the world to turn our lives around, to cast ourselves upon God, to seek his mercy and his renewal. Let's begin by reading the call to worship on the first page of page 2 of your bulletin. We are gathered together, the people of the living God, to observe the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, the Day of Atonement, known in the scriptures as Yom Kippur. We are here to contemplate and rededicate our lives in view of the great atonement which God provided for us in our Messiah, Yeshua. Of him it is written, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. It is true and certain that God reconciled the world to himself in Messiah, not counting our sins against us. We have gathered to recall the great mercies of God, to recognize and repent of our unresponsiveness to him, and to present ourselves anew as living sacrifices dedicated to serve him who loved us and sent the Messiah, Yeshua, to be a complete and final atonement for our sins. Oh, Lord, bless our time as we have gathered before you. Move among us. May your spirit be moving. May you speak to us. May you guide us. May you lead us. May in your mercy and grace you lead us. Open up our hearts that we may confess truly before you, know your forgiveness, and know your renewal. Bless this time. We give it into your hands. We cry out for mercy. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Please stand. Kol nidrei ve'esarei ushpuhei ve'charamei ve'kenomei ve'kenusei. Baruch et Adonai ha'mavarach.
Baruch Adonai ha'mavarach le'olam va'ed.
Praise the Lord who is worthy to be praised.
Blessed be the Lord who is worthy to be praised forever and ever.
For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Messiah Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on the earth, yet for us there is but one God, the Father from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, the Messiah Yeshua, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. Let us therefore confess in the words of the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem, Kivod Malchuto, Leolam Vaem.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be his name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever. V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol meyodecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. V'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We continue on page 4 and 5. We read the Amida, the prayer portion which our people are responding to around the world tonight, and which dates back to the time of the temple and the service in the temple. What a privilege we have to read these words, which have such meaning and are of such beauty and significance for us. Open my mouth, O Lord, and my lips will proclaim your praise.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, and God of our ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, great, mighty, awesome, exalted God, who bestows loving kindness, creator of all. You remembered your covenant love to our ancestors to bring a redeemer to their children's children for your name's sake.
You are the King who helps and saves and shields. Blessed are you, Lord, shield of Abraham. Your might, O Lord, is boundless. You give life to the dead. Great is your saving power.
You sustain the living with loving kindness. In your great mercy, you give life to the dead. You support the falling, heal the ailing, free the fettered. Whose power can compare with yours? You are the master of life and death who brings forth salvation. Whose mercy is like yours? In your mercy, you remember your creatures to life.
Faithful are you in giving life to the dead. Blessed are you, Lord, who gives life to the dead. You are holy, and your name is holy, and the holy ones daily give you praise.
Our God and God of our ancestors, pardon our sins on this Yom Kippur. Make our transgressions pass away before you, as it is written. I even am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Our God and God of our ancestors, satisfy us with goodness and let us rejoice in your salvation. Purify our hearts to serve you in truth.
For you are the one who forgives Israel and pardons all who truly seek you.
Accept, O Lord, the prayer of your people as it is offered. May the worship of those who call upon your name always be acceptable to you. May our eyes witness the return of our Messiah to Zion.
Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord, who restores his presence to Zion.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's continue our worship this evening. As we sing, Blessed Are You, let's truly bless and worship our God. Let's make this song our prayer.
Blessed blessed are you, O Lord our God, eternity's holy King. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose word brings on the evening. Baruch hu et Adonai ha-mevorach le'olam va'ed. Baruch hu et Adonai ha-mevorach le'olam va'ed. By wisdom, O Lord, heaven's gates open up. With understanding, you order the seasons, creating day and night, turning darkness into light, arranging the stars to your pleasing. Baruch hu et Adonai ha-mevorach le'olam va'ed. Baruch hu et Adonai ha-mevorach le'olam va'ed. Oh, blessed be the King, to the Holy One we sing. Lord of hosts is your name. Oh, ever-living God, rule over us, now and forever the same. Baruch hu et Adonai ha-mevorach le'olam va'ed. Baruch hu et Adonai ha-mevorach le'olam va'ed. Le'olam va'ed.
Please be seated. In the scriptures it says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The Lord says that we are to be holy as God alone is holy. And we know that that only comes by surrendering to the Lord. And so as we sing this, let's make this our prayer that we truly would be holy unto the Lord our God. Unto you, holy unto you, hear this humble prayer and make me holy unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lecha, kadosh, kadosh lecha, hear this humble prayer. Make me kadosh, kadosh lecha. And Lord, I come to you with a humble heart, and seeking more of you, wanting less of me, wanting more of you. From my deepest parts, God of mercy, here comes an urgent prayer that my heart's desire is to you draw near. Holy unto you, holy unto you, hear this humble prayer and make me holy unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lecha, kadosh, kadosh lecha, hear this humble prayer, make me kadosh, kadosh lecha. I give myself to you, on the altar lay. And Spirit, come and fill, so that I can more follow and obey.
let your light more shine in this wounded heart, and clean and purify so that you can more of yourself impart. Holy unto you, holy unto you. Hear this humble prayer and make me holy unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. Hear this humble prayer, make me kadosh, kadosh lecha. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh lecha. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. And hear this humble prayer, make me kadosh, kadosh lecha.
It's now time for the Alchet, which is the many times the high point, if you want to call it, the Yom Kippur service, the great confession. And in Hebrew, it involves every letter of the Hebrew alphabet, you know, each phrase. And the idea is not that to necessarily mention what every one of these sins are, but instead to say, we've covered all of the sins from A to Z. And English, our English version here as well, follows an alphabet to encompass all that we have done. But an important question comes, you know, why confess? Is it here to simply beat ourselves down about how terrible we've been? Actually, one of the parts that I think that makes the New Testament unique, as opposed to any other religion that I'm aware of, is that it actually has a very redemptive purpose, confession. Confession is about renewal of a relationship. It's about confessing and receiving forgiveness and renewal in a relationship. Think about any relationship you have with a spouse, with a friend. If you've done wrong to the other person, have you ever tried to be reconciled to them without confessing or admitting that you've done wrong? Hey, you do it sometimes, but you never actually build real reconciliation. You're never once again close to them. But once you acknowledge what you've done and they forgive you, once again, your bond is even stronger than it was before it broke, amazingly enough. In the same way, the very nature of the New Testament is that our confession is because we have a relationship with God. It's not just God is out there and we're hitting ourselves. We're in a relationship with Him. We confess because we do wrong. We are weakened. We are broken. And actually, the closer you draw to God, the more you're aware of it, not the less. The closer you get to how holy and how incredible God is, you realize how far you are not. And all the more you realize your weaknesses. And God actually, through this whole process of confession and renewal and forgiveness, actually is recreating you and transforming you into His own image, into the image you were created to be in. So confession is one of the most powerful tools God's given us. As we recite this, we'll recite the congregational pieces, and then we'll actually be quiet. I'd ask that you'd look back over it, use this as a quiet time for confession, and then Rob will give a traditional cantorial, and then we'll continue on. May it be thy will, O Lord our God, and God of our fathers, to forgive all our sins, to pardon all our iniquities, and to grant us atonement for our transgressions. Together. For the sin which we have committed in thy sight through arrogance, and for the sin which we have committed before thee by breaking promises, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by casting off responsibility, and for the sin which we have committed before thee by denying and lying, and for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by evil thoughts, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through fraud and falsehood, and for the sin which we have committed in thy sight through gossip, and for the sin which we have committed before thee by hatred.
The all
Lo, Eloh Selichot, Selach Lanu, Michalanu, Kapelanu.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, and grant us atonement through Yeshua. Turning the page. For the sin which we have committed in thy sight by being insincere in relationships, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through lack of justice, and for the sin which we have committed in thy sight either knowingly or unknowingly,
and for the sin which we have committed before thee through lustful behavior,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight through meditation of the heart that was sinful,
and for the sin which we have committed before thee by not honoring thy name,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight openly or secretly,
for the sin which we have committed before thee by being presumptuous,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by being quick to spread rumors,
and for the sin which we have committed before thee by resisting parents or teachers.
V'yal kulo Eloh Selichot Selach lanu michalanu kapelanu.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement through Yeshua. For the sin which we have committed in thy sight by scoffing and ridiculing others,
for the sin which we have committed before thee through talking idly,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by unchastity,
for the sin which we have committed before thee through violence,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by wronging our neighbor,
for the sin which we have committed before thee through excess in eating and drinking,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight
by yet being proud,
and for the sin which we have committed before thee through our lack of zeal.
V'yal kulo Eloh Selichot Selach lanu michalanu kapelanu.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, and grant us atonement through Yeshua. Amen.
The Avinu Malkeinu is a surprising prayer because it is in such opposition to any notion that good deeds can prove us before God. Let's read together the translation before I chant Avinu Malkeinu. Together, Our Father, our King, be gracious to us and answer us, for we have no merits. Show us charity and loving kindness and save us. Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Chaneinu Va'aneinu, Ki Ein Banu Ma'asim.
Ase imanu tzedaka v'chesed. Ase imanu tzedaka v'chesed. V'hoshenu. Avinu malkenu. Avinu malkenu. Avinu malkenu. Chanenu va'anenu, ki ein banu ma'asim.
Amen. And we respond with Hashivenu, which really speaks of once we've had that prayer of contrition, we ask that God would restore us.
Hashivenu, 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 Adonai Elecha, Vena Shuba, Vena Shuba, Chadesh. Chadesh Yameinu Kikedem. Hashiveinu, 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 Adonai Elecha. Vena shuva, vena shuva, chadesh, chadesh, yameinu kekedem, chadesh, chadesh.
Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. Amen.
On a day we talk about forgiveness before God, receiving renewal and cleansing by Yeshua, I think it's appropriate as well to have a personal story about how God has actually affected someone's life and changed them, and the sense of renewal we can have in Yeshua. So I've asked Jonathan Byrne if he would come and share a little of his story tonight.
Hello, hope you can all understand my Boston accent. I'm learning to park the car, but haven't got there yet. But my name's Jonathan Berendt, and I come from England. At least we arrived in England when I was one, so I say I come from England. And I grew up there. My father was a Holocaust survivor from Germany, and my mother was born in England. My father lived in quite a few different countries, including Barbados and Switzerland and Africa, which is where my parents met, and I spent my first year. Now, apart from that international background, my background was kind of a little different than most Jewish people I know, including my wife's, and I'll tell you why. And in order to tell you why, I need to give you a bigger family picture. So if you'll go back another generation with me, my father, who was born in Germany, when he was three, Hitler took over, and life got very difficult, as you can imagine. Most of the relatives that could get visas managed to exit Germany, and that's why I've literally got relatives in six continents today. But my father's parents, unfortunately, never managed to get the visas. So my father, they got him out of Germany, one of the last trains that got out of Germany in 1939. He wound up in England without a word of English and just there in a new country, no parents, no anything. In fact, my grandparents then got deported and died in Auschwitz. And when my father got older, you can imagine he was wondering what the purpose of life was. And it so happened at a point in his life, he met a Hungarian refugee, Jewish refugee, who was a doctor. And this person started sharing with him about the Messiah, who he called Yeshua, or, well, he called him Jesus, in fact, in those days. Now, my father wasn't religious at all, in any way, shape, or form, and he was amazed by the impact that this man's life had and the impact that Jesus had, and so he became a believer in Jesus himself. So now you're seeing why my background wasn't that traditional. In fact, both my parents became believers in Jesus, which you might think would be the end of the story, except because I was a really dutiful son, I knew that I could go my own way and have a better idea with what to do with my life. So my main goal in life was to please myself. And by the age of 13, me and my friends decided we were communists, which I know is kind of popular in America. But anyway, we grew up thinking that Russia and America were going to fight Armageddon on our heads in Europe. So it was just our way of trying to equate the balance a little. So even though I was a professing atheist, I could never quite convince myself. But I kind of shoved aside those doubts. Nevertheless, as I got older and I understood some of the impact that the Holocaust had on my family and some of the insecurities I had growing up as a result, I began to search more for a meaning to life. When I was 18, I went to Israel for the first time, and I remember landing there, and as soon as I got out of the plane, I remember something hit me, and I thought, I wonder if God really does exist after all. Well, as soon as I was in Israel with my Israeli cousins and feeling very Jewish, I thought, well, the obvious answer is I don't know God because I'm not Orthodox. So if I was Orthodox, then I would know God if he exists. So I decided to become super Jew and become super hyper Orthodox. Now, I told my parents before I kind of went on this whole transition, and they seemed very convinced that Jesus was the Messiah and that it was actually a big deal to not believe that. I thought they'd be quite happy and sort of say, oh, well, you've got your way, I've got our way, and whatever. So because they were so convinced, I felt like I needed to really prove it for myself. So I went to a rabbi, an Orthodox rabbi, and I asked him, among other things, I said, who was Jesus, by the way? And he said, well, Jesus is an evil man who led Jewish people astray, which was a very different answer than I heard from nearly everybody else in the family who had said, well, he's a good man or a prophet, just not for Jewish people. So I started reading the New Testament to try and disprove it with the Old Testament. I'd been reading the Old Testament or the Tanakh for a while. And the more I found out about Jesus, the more I kind of came to this conclusion that he might be who he said he was, which was sort of upsetting, seeing as I wanted to be super Jew. And so I was amazed by his wisdom, the way he answered questions. I was amazed at the way that things seemed to fit. He seemed to fulfill what was going on in the Hebrew Scriptures. And I'd never heard, none of us in our family had ever heard of Jews for Jesus or Messianic Jews or anything like that. So I just thought that was it. I remember asking my dad, why don't Christians celebrate Passover? And he just said, seems to be the way it is. So the more I looked, the more it seemed very Jewish, but it was obviously at odds with my desire to be very Orthodox. Well, finally, I got so fed up with my own life. I was so dissatisfied with the way things were going. I was a musician and not enjoying it. I was insecure within myself, and out of desperation, I finally thought, well, if Jesus really is who he said he is, I suppose I'd better give it a shot. So on a sort of experimental basis, I decided I'd receive Jesus into my life, and if there was a difference to be known, I would know it. And if there wasn't, then I'd just lose about 30 seconds, and that would be it. So in January of 1987, I decided that, okay, I'll give this a shot. It seems true. And I basically said to God, you know, I'm in a mess, so I need you. And if Jesus is it, I'm willing to go that way. And immediately I felt like something started in my heart that was a hope that I'd never had before. Can't say everything sorted itself out immediately, but one of the surprising things was I felt more Jewish. And I just couldn't put those two things together. Well, it made sense intellectually, but I just couldn't see around me anybody else in believing in Jesus who really had any kind of Jewish culture or was Jewish except for my immediate family. So as time went on, about 6 months later, I ran into another Jewish believer who was working with an organization sharing his faith with other Jewish people. And he spent the next 5 years trying to recruit me. Well, 5 years later, I wound up being recruited into Jews for Jesus and wasn't very popular with most of my relatives, but never mind. And the more I found I was able to share my faith, the more I saw God at work in other people's lives as well. One of the great byproducts was I met a wonderful Jewish believer called Cindy, who's now my wife. She's the only believer in her family. Her family ranges from secular to very ultra-Orthodox. So it's a very interesting mix when we go back to LA, which is where she's from. Not only that, my brother became a believer, and his wife became a believer. She's the only believer in her family. So we've really got quite a large mishpucha, or family of believers, by now. And ever since that time that I asked Jesus into my life, things haven't always been easy. But every time that I've persevered and sought him, sought God, I've found that he has made a way, that he has shown himself to be faithful, that he has given me the kind of healing and growth and opportunity that I'd never thought possible when I was in my early 20s. And so it's a real privilege for me today to be able to stand here and share with you the difference that he's made in my life and my wife's life and my family's life. And I know that he can make the same difference for you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
You might think that going into the Kaddish after such a testimony of praise and God's goodness seems awkward, but yet it's really not that at all. The Kaddish on page 10 and 11 is a prayer of praise and thanksgiving in the midst of remembering difficulty, pain, and grief. I ask that those who would like to remember a loved one who has gone before you, please stand during the Kaddish, and you can remember them in that way, and we will also recite the Kaddish together with you.
Yitgadal v'yitkadash shemei rabah, Bialma divra hierute, Biam lich malchute, Bechayechon, Viomechon, Uvchayecho beit Yisrael, Baagala ubezman kadrive yemeru. Amen. Yeheshme rabba mevarach, Liala mulal mea maya, Yitbarach, Yitbarach, Vishtabach, Vietpavit Ramam. Vit nase, vit chada, vit alev, vit alav, shemed yichudasha, brichu. Le'ela min kol brichata, vishirata, tush brichata, venechemata, diamiran, bialma, viyimeru. Amen. Yehe shlama rabba min shamaya, vechayim aleinu, vial kol Yisrael, viyimeru. Amen. Oseh shalom bimromav, Hu yaseh shalom. Aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'yemeru. Amen.
Together. Magnified and sanctified be his great name in the world, which he hath created according to his will. May he establish his kingdom during your life and during your days and during the life of all the house of Israel, even speedily and at a near time. And let us say, Amen. Let his great name be blessed forever and to all eternity. Blessed, praised, glorified, exalted, extolled, and honored, magnified and lauded be the name of the Holy One. Blessed be he, though he be high above the blessings and hymns, praises and consolations which are uttered in the world. And let us say, Amen. May there be abundant peace from heaven and life for us and for all Israel. And let us say, Amen. He who makes peace in his high places, may he make peace for us and for all Israel. And let us say, Amen.
Please be seated. If you'll indulge me, I would just like to, in light of the Kaddish, mention my grandmother, Janet, who passed away this year. She helped raise me. She spent a lot of time devoted to me. And after I became a believer, my father was the first one to share about Yeshua with me. And I sent a Bible to my grandmother. And I said, I think you should read this. And she got halfway through the book of Genesis, and she called me and she said, Mike, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I said, well, you haven't gotten to that part yet. And she said, I know it's true. And she and then my mother, her daughter, became a believer. And now most of my family are believers in Yeshua. And my grandmother was so proud of being a believer. She was the only believer she knew. And where she lived out in San Francisco area, there wasn't a Messianic congregation. And she always longed to be able to come here and be at Sar Shalom. And she got to come a few times. And it was some of the special, most special times of my life. So anyway, I just wanted to honor her in her courage to step out in faith for what she knew was true. As we sing this song, Shalom Rav, it speaks about praying that God would give peace to Israel. And we know that the scripture talks about the peace that is beyond understanding. That's the peace that only comes from the Lord. And that we have found through his son, the Messiah, Yeshua. So as we sing this song, let's just focus on the peace that only God can bring.
Shalom Rav al Yisrael Amcha Tasihim Leolam. Shalom Rav al Yisrael Amcha Tasihim Leolam. Ki Atahu Melech Adom Lecho HaShalom. Ki Atahu Melech Adon Lecho HaShalom. Shalom Rav al Yisrael Amcha Tasihim Leolam. Shalom Rav al Yisrael Amcha Nasi'i le'olam B'tov b'necha levarech Et amcha Yisrael Bechol et u'bechol shah B'shlomecha Shalom Rav Yisrael Amcha Tasihi Le'olam Shalom Rav Yisrael Amcha Tasihi Le'olam Tasihi Le'olam Tasihi Le'olam
This next song is all in Hebrew, so for those of you not fluent in Hebrew, please feel free to just focus on the English. It says, Behold the Lamb of God who has borne the sins of the world. Have mercy upon us, Redeemer and Lord, Son of God, our Messiah. Yeshua, Yeshua, we bow down and worship before you.
Say Elohim, Hanoseh Hatat Haolam, Rachem Nalenu Adon Vegoel, Ben Elohim Chanenu, Rachem Nalenu Adon Vegoel. Ben Elohim Chanenu Yeshua, Yeshua Anu mishtachavim lepanecha Yeshua, Yeshua Anu mishtachavim lepanecha Seh Elohim Anoseh Atat Haolam Rachem Nalenu Adon Begoel Ben Elohim Chanenu Rachem Nalenu Adon Begoel Ben Elohim Chanenu Yeshua, Yeshua Anu mishtachavim lefanecha Yeshua, Yeshua Anu mishtachavim lefanecha Adonai HaMevorach HaMevorach
bim 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 bum bim bum bim 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 bum bim 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 bum Baruch Hu et Adonai Amevora Baruch Adonai Amevorach Amevorach Leolam Baeh Amevorach Amevorach Leolam Baeh.
And the translation of which is, Blessed is the Lord who is worthy to be praised forever and ever. Amen. Let's rise together for our Torah portion. Baruch et Adonai Hamavorach.
Baruch Adonai Hamavorach Le'olam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamavorach Le'olam Va'ed. Praise the Lord who is worthy to be praised.
Blessed be the Lord who is worthy to be praised forever and ever.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'natan lanu et Torato, Baruch ata Adonai noten ha'Torah. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. You chose us from all peoples, giving us your Torah. You are the blessed one who gave us the Torah.
Our Torah reading will be a selection from Leviticus 16, the commanded liturgy on the Day of Atonement. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain, in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area. With a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, he is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or an alien living among you, because on this day, atonement will be made for you, to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lano torat emet, v'chaye olam nata bitocheinu. Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. You gave us your true instruction and planted everlasting life in our midst. You are the blessed one who gave us the Torah. At the top of 14, I'm going to be chanting the blessings before and after the Haftorah portion. They are not in print, so you'll have to listen to me and follow along. Our Haftorah portion will be from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, written 700 years before Yeshua was on the earth. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech haolam, asher bachar benvim tovim, veratza v'divrehem hanemarim be'emet. Baruch atah Adonai, habocher b'Torah uv'Moshe avdo uv'Yisrael amo uv'Nviei ha'emet v'Tzedek. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who selected good prophets, delighting in their words which were spoken truthfully. Blessed are you, O Lord, who chose the Torah, your servant Moses, your people Israel, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. Achen chalayenu nasa umachovenu svalam v'anachnu chashavnu nagua muke Elohim umune. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. V'hu micholel mipshainu meduka meyavonoteinu, musa shlomeinu alav, uvachavurato nirpalanu. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Kulanu katzon tahinu ish ledarko paninu, v'Adonai hifkia bo et avon kulanu. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, the sins of us all to fall on him. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech haolam, tzur kol haolamim, tzadik b'chol hadorot, ha'el ha'neman, ha'omer ve'oseh, ha'medaber u'mkeyam, shekol divarav emet v'tzedek. Ne'eman atahu Adonai, Eloheinu v'ne'emanim divarecha, v'divar echad midvarecha. Acholo yashuv rekyaim kiyel melech, ne'eman v'rachaman atah. Baruch atah Adonai, ha'el ha'ne'eman b'kol divarav. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, rock of all ages, righteous through all generations. You are the faithful God, promising and then performing, first speaking and then fulfilling, for all your words are true and righteous. Faithful are you, O Lord our God, and faithful are your words, for no word of yours shall remain unfulfilled. You are a faithful and merciful God and King. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, who are faithful in fulfilling your words. Amen. And we respond on the top of 14 with a beautiful statement of the magnificence of God's word.
Etzraim hi lemachazikim ba v'tomcheha meushan terachheha darche noam v'chon v'tivoteha shalom Hashiveinu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh, Chadesh yameinu Chadesh yameinu kekedem.
It is a tree of life to those who grasp it, and its supporters are happy. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Bring us back, Lord, to you, and we will repent. Renew our days as of old. You may be seated. I appreciate the way that God has worked in Garrett's life over the years to bring him to this very night and to bring him to a point of speaking to us on Yom Kippur. I thank God for Garrett's studies. I thank God for Garrett's walk with the Lord. And I look forward to what Garrett has to say to us tonight.
Thanks, Rob. Thank you, Rob. I was flipping through the channels on my TV about a month ago, and it's a practice actually my wife hates tremendously, but thankfully she rarely watches television, so it's not a big issue. But as I was flipping, I came to a show I actually recognized as How I Met Your Mother. I've actually never watched the show outside of like a 30-second blip here or there. But right when I caught this, I was really shocked by the scene I had saw. There was the main character, one of the main characters. I call him Doogie Howser, but I guess it's like Neil Patrick Harris. He plays a real slime bag on the show as far as it seems like. You know, guy who's always, trying to go after women and is willing to say anything or do anything and doesn't have any apparent conscience at all. And that's kind of what makes him interesting to watch, I guess, a man without a conscience. But this scene, actually, what was so strange about the scene I flipped to is he was trying to confess something. He was saying to his friend, I want to confess something to you. And his friend's going, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. He's going, la, la, la. He goes, no, I need to confess. He goes, no, I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to hear it. Finally gets his friend to hear it. And he says, I need to confess this to you. I have to confess it. And he says, he had gotten together with both of their mutual friends' ex-girlfriend. And he goes, you've got to help me. And he pulls out this big book. And he calls it, this is the bro code, you know, the how man friends, bros, are to behave with one another. And he goes, I broke the bro code by being with my, you know, friend's ex-girlfriend. You've got to find a way out of this for me. You've got to find a way in which I'm not guilty. Please help me. Look through this. You're a lawyer. Look through this. And so his friend takes away. The next scene he walks in, he goes, you cannot get out of this. He goes, I've got to get this off of me. I hate this feeling. I don't know what to do with this feeling. It's just laying on me. You've got to somehow take this off of me. And his friend goes, yeah, you're right, you have a feeling. You did wrong. And the guy, he's befuddled by that very concept, that this weight, this horrible feeling is because he had actually done wrong. Now, I don't know what happened the rest of the show because that was all I could take. But I thought right then, I went, hey, Yom Kippur. I thought, hey, there's merit in How I Met Your Mother, a Yom Kippur illustration. Because that's what Yom Kippur is really about. You know, it's about that confession of that sin and why we need that. You know, why do we need to confess our sin? You know, because we've done wrong. Why do you feel this overwhelming burden to confess? Why was it a weight on him? Because he had done wrong. Yom Kippur, though, is not just about confessing. As I was a kid at, you know, at Yom Kippur, that was the big thing, you know, and that whole week leading up to it. Confession of sins, confess, confess. That's what Jewish community is, confessing your sin. But Yom Kippur is actually not about itself confession. It's actually about the receiving of atonement. It's about how God makes atonement. And that's something only God can do. Our episode of How I Met Your Mother shows very well the weight that lays on us when we feel we've done wrong. But Yom Kippur is actually about how that weight gets lifted, how it gets covered, how atonement is made, and how forgiveness is even possible. You know, Leviticus 16, which you read from earlier, goes through these carefully commanded duties for the high priest. You know, he's supposed to wear these very special garments, you know, be specially cleansed in water. He offers a bowl as a burnt offering to cleanse himself and his family first to make himself holy. Then he brings two goats up for an offering for the people of Israel, one to be sacrificed and its blood splattered to cleanse the tent, you know, to cleanse the tabernacle itself. And ultimately, on top of the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, on the only day of the year, he can actually go symbolically into the presence of God. And then the second offering, which was the scapegoat, which he would actually confess all the sins of Israel and it would bear its atonement on. But the main point of all this long liturgy, and it really is a long liturgy of Leviticus 16, because remember we talked about Rosh Hashanah last time, is in all of the scriptures, it basically is two verses for all of Rosh Hashanah. Such an important day, and it all gets is basically says all you do is blow trumpets. Yet on Yom Kippur, not only it actually gives an entire long chapter specifically how Yom Kippur is to happen. Specifically says at the end of Leviticus 16:30, the point of all this liturgy is on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord you will be clean from all your sins. So the purpose of the day was that atonement would be made for you. Atonement meaning kippur or covering, you know, covering over of your sins. It was not a day which was to determine whether you had confessed enough. It wasn't a day to determine whether you were repentant enough. It wasn't even a day of judgment. It was a day in which God would cover over the sins of Israel and how it would be performed and how he would do that. The verse says the purpose of covering actually was to cleanse you. On this day, atonement will be made for you to do what? To cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. That word to clean, tahar, tahor, occurs 100 times in various forms throughout the Hebrew scriptures, the idea of being clean. As you might guess, it's mostly in the Torah. And also the other accompanying word, tamea, unclean. So that, and you might sense this is very prevalent in Leviticus, unclean and clean, all over the place. The main idea of the clean and unclean laws is that when you were unclean, you were ritually impure. You could not participate in the worship activities. That was the main idea. If you were unclean, no going anywhere near God or his people for the worship activities. If war was taken in booty, you were unclean. It was unclean, need to be purified. After the birth of a child, the mother was unclean, had to wait a certain amount of time. People with wounds, with discharges were unclean. A person with a leprosy, you know, with who knows what exactly, probably a variety of skin diseases, had to cry out unclean so no one would touch them. If anyone touched them, they would become unclean. Touching a dead body made you unclean. Killing in war made you unclean. For all these things, there were prescribed times and ways in which you could then become ritually clean again. But people were always becoming unclean for one reason or another. Uncleanness was a common state. I remember David was coming to a banquet with Saul, and Saul says, "Where's David?" "Oh, maybe he's got unclean, so he couldn't come here tonight." That was a common thing that happened. There were animals that were clean and unclean. You know, you could only eat clean animals. You know, split hoof and who chew the cud and so on. Evidently, all these clean, unclean laws, interestingly enough, are actually unparalleled in ancient literature. You know, a lot of the stuff you could see in the Torah, you could find in other ancient literature, but the clean, unclean laws are unique. And a lot has been made of all the medical brilliance of these practices, not touching dead bodies, eating pigs or shellfish, which contain so much disease. And I think these laws are remarkable, and they must have led to health benefits in the nation of Israel. But I think if you concentrate on the health benefits of the clean laws, you're actually missing the entire point of them, or the main point. In Leviticus 10:10, it says, you must, to the people, and to the Levites who will be teaching them, it also says this, you must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. the parallel. The main idea that's being taught by the clean laws is actually the holiness of God. And they're being taught about what is holy. Even our verse 16:30, right, says you'll be clean. Clean from what? Clean from your sins before the Lord. That's why when you're unclean, what are you unfit to do? You're unfit to come into the presence of God, into the worship activities of the community. When you're unclean, you actually make other people unclean. Being unclean keeps you from God. It's the basic idea. I think what's happening is the clean laws were physical ways to teach about spiritual realities, right? Think about it. You know, if you're unclean before God, you've sinned. You don't really see it. Do you know it? But like dirt and things like that, you could see, you could understand. So in the same way that you're clean or dirty or blood or discharged, that stuff makes you unclean. So it's your sins that are actually making you unclean before God. It was physical realities to express, you know, the inner physical things to express inner unseen spiritual realities. In our verse, it says you'll be clean from your sins before the Lord. Your sins, the way you've, you know, missed the mark, done wrong before God. And having so many things, think about it, there's so many ways in which you can become unclean, right? You're always becoming unclean. What's being expressed by that? All these different things that perpetually make you unfit for the presence of God. It's perpetually showing how holy and pure that God is and how unholy and unpure you are, how defiled you are. It's a perpetual teaching. Imagine all the sacrifices. I mean, there must have been a river coming out of the temple of blood, you know, of all the blood. What a reminder of your impurity, of your constant need for purification. And what's mainly being taught by these laws is just that. Now, one of the interesting things for me in the scripture is to see that the people then even grasped that they were essentially symbolic, that they weren't, you know, just the commandment to do it. The ritual cleansing, you know, was symbolic of God's forgiving of sins, and they kind of recognized this. In Hezekiah's time, there was a great revival, and he called all the people from all the nation of Israel to come together and to celebrate a Passover, a time of renewal before God, but he knew many people were unclean and wouldn't be able to come up and participate in that great Passover. So we actually prayed to God. And he said, God, please forgive those who have set their hearts on God by coming to this feast. Hezekiah knew that they actually were not really unfit. Their hearts were coming before God. They wanted to serve him. And so we just kind of prayed, God, you make them unclean. And you make them clean. He recognized it was symbolic. King David as well. You see the symbolism as well in Psalm 51. Where he says, you know, wash me from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Against you, you only have I sinned. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. King David knew he needed to be cleansed. He used all this imagery, wash me, wash me, wash me. Inside, my sin is before you. I'm separated from you, God. Cleanse me and wash me of your sins. Wash me of my sins. Which is ultimately what's done on Yom Kippur and really what I think he's referring to. So the rituals in the scriptures are there to point to larger spiritual realities. Here all the washings, the clean, unclean, are speaking of our need to be clean of our sin before God, which is what Yom Kippur was accomplishing. But what makes this so interesting, these clean, unclean, these washings and such, is how they are laid out in the Messianic prophecies and the promises of the new covenant coming forward. You know, so the old covenant Sinai, this is a new covenant coming with the Messiah. Like in Jeremiah 33, Jeremiah 31, you know, the promise of the new covenant, it kind of continues in there. He says, with this new covenant, he says, one of the things I'm going to do through this new covenant is I will cleanse them from all their guilt of their sin before me. This is going to be accomplished in this new covenant, cleansing of their sin. In Ezekiel 36, also speaking of this new covenant, he says, I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. I will clean you, and I'll give you a new heart. Again, what's going to happen in the new covenant? In Zechariah, there's this stunning vision in chapter 3. And it's a vision. The high priest has come. You know, the high priest who had all these clean, holy, perfect garments? Well, he says the high priest comes into this scene right now, and in the vision, he's actually in filthy garments and absolutely dirty. And it says the angel Lord, who I think is the Lord himself, who I think, you know, pre-incarnate Messiah, actually takes and says, take off his dirty clothes, put on his new clean Roman garments, and give him a clean turban. He says, you are now clean before me. And then he says something amazing. He goes, actually, you know, Joshua, the high priest, you're actually symbolic of what's going to happen in the future. And he goes on to say, in the future, when I bring my servant, the branch, which is a code word in the scriptures for Messiah, when I bring the Messiah and take away the sin of the land in a single day. He says, that's going to happen. And what's symbolically happening to you, Joshua, is going to happen to all those people. Then later in Zechariah, He actually says when the Messiah comes, a fountain will be opened in Jerusalem for the cleansing of sins. Messiah's come, it's just a fountain cleansing people. Now we come to the New Testament, right? And we have this promise of this, we have the promise of a Messiah who will come in the new covenant, who will cleanse people of their sins, remove the sin of the land in a single day. So Yeshua comes claiming to be this Messiah, Jesus, and in his ministry is revealing who he is. This is dramatically in the Gospel of Matthew. After delivering the Sermon on the Mount, he comes down and you have this scene. It says he comes down from the mountain and great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. What a dramatic way in which he cleansed this leper. I mean, why not? I mean, lepers would have to cry out, you know, unclean, 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 so no one would touch them and become unclean. Yet Yeshua actually didn't pray over here, oh God, make him clean. He actually took out his hand and he touched him. And as he touched him, he was healed and made clean. He was this Messiah who came and made and brought cleansing. In his very touch, in his hand, he was in that new covenant. Boom. By my very touch, you become clean. So how does he cleanse? What happens to that sins? What happened to that uncleanness? What happened to that leprosy? Well, what Jesus did is he actually took on the leper's uncleanness. You know, he touched him. The leper became clean, and his uncleanness was taken on to him. And Yeshua takes on the entire world's uncleanness. All of our sins, he essentially touches and takes it, to bears it onto himself. And he becomes unclean for us. He becomes separated from God for us. He bears the judgment of our sins. And his sacrifice on the cross is the judgment. And in that, he was separated from God with his uncleanness. In his blood, which is his life, he then cleanses us from all sin. The blood of the Messiah cleanses us. That is the true Day of Atonement. That's the day that Yom Kippur speaks of. As Yom Kippur, the blood of that sacrifice would cleanse the nation of Israel, was actually speaking to the ultimate day when the Messiah would come and cleanse sins, not just of Israel, but of the whole world. You see, when we come, before we come to Yeshua, we're like the high priest in Zechariah 3. We're all covered with dirty robes. We're like that leper. We are all unclean, every one of us. But then Jesus touches us, and he makes us clean. He takes off our filthy garments, and he puts on clean ones. He takes off our soiled turban and puts us on a holy and clean turban. He takes on our sins, bears the judgment for them on the cross, on that true Day of Atonement, which atonement was made for us to cleanse us. And thus in him, we are clean from our sins before the Lord. Now, an amazing statement it says in 1 John, it says, now, even as you seek to walk with him in this world, though, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, it says the blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua, cleanses us from all sin. That's an amazing statement. It says, as we're walking in the light with him, as we're walking with God, we are actually still perpetually becoming unclean. Unclean in our thoughts and actions. But as we come to him confessing, and the cleansing of his blood is perpetual and constant as we stay in fellowship with him. You know, it says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just, will forgive it and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thank God for the Day of Atonement. We are cleansed once and for all when we come to him. In that cleansing, and as we're cleansed, as we're in fellowship with God, there is incredible hope, is there not? For a daily renewal. Today is the day of salvation. As it says, today is the day you can come and confess clean to God, seeking renewal. It's not just the first time, it's every time. You know, come and touch me, make me clean. It's amazing things. We have this whole terrifying situation in this world. So many of us have trusted in things that weren't right. And those trusts are being exposed, our fears coming up. Today is still a day you can turn, you come to God, you confess it. Receive that cleansing, receive that renewal. Turn to him. We need to know, and the Scripture wants us to know, that God is for us, not against us. He made atonement for the people of Israel. He sent the Messiah to die for us. God is doing all this for us. He is for you. He's for me. We need to be willing to go to Him, confess regularly our sins, knowing His cleansing renewal and commitment to change us. And as that's happening, He is transforming us, actually, and making us into the very image of the One who is willing to lay down His life for us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you thank you for the message, Lord, of Yom Kippur, that you've come to cleanse us, that you make a way that we can be clean before you, that we can not be separated from you or taken away from you for our uncleanness, but brought towards you, clean, made holy and pure, with our uncleanness, our sins borne by another, not patched over, not forgotten, but removed. Lord, thank you that it's in the touch of Yeshua as we come to Him that we are made clean. Oh God, let us walk with you in the light as you are in the light. Let us know that cleansing. Let us know that renewal. Let us know the hope and the strength and the conviction that nothing can harm us, that nothing that can happen, Lord, can cross what your will is, that you are ever with us, ever strengthening us, ever cleansing us, ever transforming us. We love you, Lord. You've won our hearts. Change us, take us, Lord. Make us and do with us what it is you will. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
One of the scriptures tells that when the Messiah comes, we will say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai." Our Messiah has come, and we have been redeemed. Please stand.
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Hallelujah.
In the English.
Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba, Baruch haba, b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba, b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba, b'shem Adonai, Baruch haba, b'shem Adonai, hallelujah.
Just before we close, there should have been a card inside your bulletin. We're very proud here at Sar Shalom of our partnership with Jews for Jesus, and if you'd like to receive a newsletter or email updates at different events, please fill this out, drop it, if you'd like to give something towards the work. I actually just pass them to the middle if you can, if you fill them out or if you can. Also, Bimini is here from Jews for Jesus. You also give it to her as well at the end. Her husband, Oded, is normally here to blow our shofar, but Oded, our Cohen, our priest, is in Israel, actually, doing a fantastic, really an outreach in the Galilee with a big crew of folks. And it's really remarkable here at the very days of awe, in these holiest of days, they're reaching out with the good news of Yeshua. And it's actually a bit dangerous work as well. So we should need to lift them up in our prayers. And I do want to remind you, you are invited back. We have services here in the other room first Friday of every month at 7:30. We'd love to have you. We will have our final blowing of the shofar, and actually we have a special guest, Shlomi Goldman, is going to do it for us. He actually blew it for the first time on Rosh Hashanah, and he blew it so well, I said, come back and blow it the final. He wanted me to get that disclaimer in case he tenses up and blows it. So, is that a good enough disclaimer? Appreciate it. Tekiah Gadolah!
Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chuneka. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and grant you his shalom, his peace. Amen.